Can you keep all four of them? Tavares, Nylander, Marner, and Matthews. Does the salary structure allow you to do that?
We can and we will.
The first weekend of NHL training camps are done and the Leafs have their big four locked up. It's messy. Let's get into it. What's going on, everybody? Matt Robinson with you on a Sunday night. Been a while since we've done one of these, eh? Back on the Unforced Errors side of things here on the Tall Can Audio Podcast Network. All the archives, as well as this episode, everything you catch on the TCA network, available at tallcanaudio.com. We're on Apple Podcasts, we're on Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn. Yeah, that's a new one. Google Play Music. We're everywhere as we continue to branch out here. TCA slowly taking over the podcast world. It's been a slow climb, but we will continue to climb. Thanks for checking out the show. As I said, my name is Matt Robinson. It's just you and me tonight. A lot of the time on the Sunday night, well, we always get something out to start your work week. That's one of the things that we hear most often that our listeners appreciate is that they know, while sometimes our schedule can be a little erratic during the week, there will always be something on Monday morning. And sure enough, here we are. There's been a lot going on. The Mitch Marner news broke on Friday night. It's a little strange. It's kind of a move that is reserved for typically bad news. And maybe that should tell us a little something about what Leafs management was expecting or how Leafs management was expecting this news to be received. Or maybe it was just coincidence. But you see all the time when whether it comes to government stuff or, you know, major layoffs, things like that, it's always on Friday night. The media's gone home. You can kind of slide it in at the end of the work week and hope that people have cooled off by Monday morning by the time the real media rolls back in. I'm not sure if that's what happened here or if that's just sort of how the timeline played out on this deal. I do have some strong beliefs on exactly what forced this to a head, and we'll get to that in just a few minutes. But, things have been a little weird around here. I had to undergo a minor medical procedure just over a week ago. A week before that, Rob was on holidays. A weekend before that, he had a family wedding to go to. I was out of town. Matty Lang had just returned from Europe. Our pal Amy Burke, who sometimes steps in, she had been away in Peru. And it's been difficult, let's say, to get things scheduled around here, to get things out for you guys. And we've had people step up sometimes when it's been a little bit uncomfortable for them in terms of timing. Rob's made some time. Maddie has certainly stepped up here over the last couple of weeks and given us a couple of really good shows, and Amy as well before she took off for Peru. But as we sit here on this Sunday night, it's just me and you. And the Unforced Errors podcast is something we've done hit and miss here and there, now and then, you know. It hasn't been super common lately, but I badly wanted to get something out. And the Marner situation alone made this worth doing. I spoke to Rob just a few minutes before coming on the show tonight. He will be in studio on Tuesday. So no doubt some of this will come up again. I have no doubt he'll have his own strong anti-blue opinions on it. And that's part of what makes this show interesting. So that will happen on Tuesday night. Late Tuesday night, that show will come out. For most of you, it's more likely to be a Wednesday morning commute kind of thing. But that explains why tonight's episode is a solo deal. Back to the Unforced Errors show. And it's something, you know, when I fired it up, I wasn't sure how often we'd use it, how often we'd go solo, but I wanted to have something out for the Monday morning, And this topic certainly warranted it. We'll go over some of the facts, because I have a feeling when Rob gets in here on Tuesday, it will be more of a debate. And that will be more of a philosophical debate, probably, than a factual one. So we will go over things here and what it means moving forward, what it means right now, and just how this whole thing has shaken out. As longtime listeners know, you can give us a follow on Twitter and Instagram. We're at TallCanAudio. And we are at Facebook.com/TallCanAudio. Although, to be honest, we are there less and less as Facebook is becoming more and more gross. We're just doing less over there. For those who haven't caught it, we put up something brand new on our Patreon page last week. That's at patreon.com/TallCanAudio. For those of you who dig what we do and want to support us just a little bit, that's the place to do it. We put up some talk between Rob and myself that was originally in last Sunday's Audio Whiplash. And as we went through it, the conversation got to a certain point, and we wrote it to the end. But we decided at the last minute this might be a little too sensitive for Audio Whiplash. Maybe one of us, maybe the one of us who's here right now, crossed a line or two, which normally we don't shy away from on this show, as you people know. But we just decided, why don't we just take this off the main network and we will put this up for our patrons. We crossed the line just a little bit, but we still wanted to give our most devoted listeners a chance to check it out instead of just throwing it out completely. So if you want to get in on that, it is at patreon.com/TallCanAudio for less than the price of a shitty Starbucks coffee. You can get in and help us, you know, with what we do around here. We'd really appreciate it. And we're constantly uploading new stuff there. And I think we're going to have something new this week as well that will be just for our Patreon listeners. Also, as longtime listeners know, it wouldn't be a TCA podcast here on the Tall Can Audio Network without a little craft beer. And every now and then, somebody will swing by with something that they thought was kind of clever in terms of a name or that they thought we might enjoy. We have even once or twice had a couple of craft beer gifts sent to us here in studio. But tonight, I'm about to sample something that was left here just before Mitch Marner signed. But it did come at kind of a coincidental time. This is the KLR 93. Some of you are already, especially those of you who are Leaf fans, are already putting this together. Killer, Doug Gilmore, number 93 for your Toronto Maple Leafs. This is the KLR 93 Kolsch from the Whitewater Brewing Company that we're going to crack open and give a shot to here tonight. Yeah, that's not bad. To be totally honest with you, I'm not always much into the Kolsch. It's just not always really my style, but this is pretty good, if I'm going to be honest with you, especially as far as a Kolsch goes. And there was no way, once the deal was signed, that there was any other time to have this beer. We usually don't save our craft beer selections for occasions. We just kind of get to them when we get to them. Like I said, sometimes we find them ourselves. Most often we find them ourselves. Sometimes they're kind of left here or brought over here as gifts or just things that we thought were going to work well for the show. And like I said, occasionally we get stuff sent to us. But this one, based on the Marner deal, it couldn't have fit any more perfectly. It's already been posted. If you're not following us on Instagram, you probably should be. We are at Tall Can Audio, and we always post the beers that we're drinking. And other little videos, clips from the shows, clips from behind the scenes around the studio, things like that, we try to put up there. And so when I took a look at what we were going to do tonight, we absolutely had to have this beer. For those who don't understand, or for those who are not familiar, Doug Gilmore, a major inspiration for Mitch Marner. Now that is interesting because Mitch Marner, I believe, was born in 1998. So he missed most of Dougie's, in fact, all of Dougie's best moments as a Leaf. He did probably get to see Dougie come back for that one game against Calgary. If you remember, Gilmore was a Hab. The Leafs traded to pick him up for a playoff run. He stepped on the ice for like his first shift in Calgary. It was in the first period anyway. I don't know if it was first shift. And Dave Lowry blew his knee out. That was the end of Gilmore's career. So that's kind of a bitter memory. And even then, Marner's probably only 4 or 5 years old. But junior hockey, Maple Leafs legends, these sorts of things, it's a small community. And Mitch Marner has always had a ton of love for Doug Gilmore. His number all the way through junior hockey was 93 in honor of Doug Gilmore. And just as Mitch was getting called up, the Leafs went and retired a pile of numbers. All those numbers that they had honored, for a long time the Maple Leafs would only honor numbers. Didn't mean you couldn't wear them. It just meant that they were honored in the stands. And, you know, at some point, I think it was just sort of the start of the 2015-16 season maybe, the Leafs decided they were going to retire all of those. And so you saw a bunch of guys changing numbers and things like that. The only one at the time, and it's an interesting story, at least to me, the Maple Leafs, like I said, used to only honor numbers. They didn't retire them. But they did have one that was sort of unofficially retired. And that, of course, was Bill Barilko, who are number 5 with the Leafs. For those of you who know the Hip song, he disappeared that summer. And he was on a fishing trip. I'm not going to go through the whole lyrics to the Tragically Hip song. But Conn Smythe at the time, who ran the team, said, "No one wears his number until we find him." So number 5, for a time, was unofficially or officially, however you want to look at it, retired. Of course, when they did find him, he was dead. At that point, do you want to be the first to put that number back on? So no one wore number 5 for forever for Toronto. Even though it wasn't technically retired, no one had the stones on them, nor should they, to go and put the number 5 on. So, that was sort of the only number in Toronto that was officially retired until recently when they put all those numbers out to pasture. Otherwise, there is not a doubt in my mind that Mitch Marner would be wearing number 93 for the Leafs, but that's just not possible now, you know, given on how all this is shaken out. So Doug Gilmore's KLR 93 Kolsch from the Whitewater Brewing Company, actually not far from Ottawa here, which is interesting. And, you know, us Leaf fans up here in Ottawa, we got to stick together. So it's good to see that, you know, the Whitewater Brewing guys apparently have a little love for Dougie, as so many of us do. So that was obviously going to be the beer that we were going to bust out for tonight's show. So let's get into it. It breaks, you know, shortly after 7 p.m., I guess, on Friday night. Mitch Marner has signed a 6-year contract with the Toronto Maple Leafs, $10.893 million. Sorry, I'm kind of an Austin Powers nerd sometimes. As recently as like Tuesday or Wednesday, you had legitimate insiders saying something along the lines of, you know, at some point this summer, Mitch Marner turned down 7 years at $11 million from the Leafs. That's the John Tavares deal exactly. Like, that is John Tavares' contract. 7 years, $11 million. John Tavares, at the time that he signs in Toronto, already well established as one of the top players in the league. We can argue all day on where you have him, number 5, number 10, number 15. It doesn't matter. As a UFA, he has more pull, more leverage as a center, as a goal scorer, all these things. And he's leaving his team. And the things start to swirl a little bit at that point. Fans start to get restless. People like myself, who have always said that Mitch Marner is worth less than Austin Matthews, have always felt that way. But now you see a lot of the Marner supporters start to go, "Oh, what? Come on." Not just because he's a winger and a passer, an assist guy, who's only got one plus 90-point season under his belt, but because it's like, well, if John Tavares left his team and came home for that, you're too good for that? After 3 years in the league, 2 of those years you don't break 70 points? and things started to turn a little bit. And we'll get into that because I think that had a big part to play in this. Don't kid yourself. Friday afternoon, late afternoon, we start to hear rumblings. Things are close. Maybe now they're talking about a 6-year deal. You know, perhaps by the end of the weekend, we could see this get done. And suddenly, you know, 6 o'clock, 6:30, it's close. Things could break down at any time. We don't know. And then suddenly it's done. So something forced this to a head. And like I said, I have my own opinions on what that is. We'll get to those in just a second. Because I want to deal with the haters first. There's a lot of people listening to this podcast, no doubt, who are wanting me to eat some crow, and I'm going to have to do it. I'll do it here briefly, but I'm going to have to do it harder when Rob gets in here, so I'm not going to spend much time on it. I never thought that this contract would be over $10 million. And it is. 10.893 for 6 years. The ground kind of moved under the Leafs a little bit while these negotiations were happening and while they've been trying to get their guys locked up. But at the same time, they've also blown the winger market straight to hell here. It's a huge contract. It's a big contract. Big is smaller than huge. I don't know why I did that in that order. But there is no doubt in my mind they have overpaid. And you could see Chris Johnston, at Reporter Chris on Twitter, one of the very few guys that was worth trusting as this thing moved along. He kind of said late in these negotiations, late Friday afternoon, he came out with a tweet that said, "The Leafs know they're not getting a good deal here. They're just trying to push the ball across the finish line." Or across the goal line, as I kind of stumble over my analogy. And at that point, I knew this was going to be bad. And it is. This is not a good number based on comparables, based on, you know, what's happened with wingers in previous years. Mitch Marner is now being paid more than Nikita Kucherov. And that is ridiculous. And there are other guys out there. You can draw your own comparisons. You can draw your own comparables. But I will sit here and I will tell you now, I will own up to it, all these things. I didn't think it would be this high. And you won't get me to say now that this is a good deal for the Leafs. It's not. I don't know yet how terrible it is, but it's not good. The Leafs did not get a bargain here. They didn't get a bargain on Matthews. They kind of got a bargain on Tavares, depending on who you want to believe. You know, a lot of people will tell you that the San Jose Sharks were prepared to make John Tavares the highest paid player in the league last summer at somewhere around $13 million. Maybe you got a bit of a bargain there. I guess it depends what you think of William Nylander on whether you believe you got a bargain there. I happen to think you got about market value, not a bargain. You got about what's right. I still, to this day, to this moment, as we sit here, think Mitch should have come in between 9 and 9.5. Probably less than 9.5 because that's Kucherov's number, and I think Kucherov is better. But I'm sort of willing to admit that the ground had shifted and RFAs are asking for more and all these sorts of things. Maybe you can talk me into the Kucherov deal. 10.893, it's too high. It's too high. So I'm going to get back to you haters in just a second. I got one last point I want to make on the number itself before I do that. This vanity license plate bullshit that we're doing now, it's got to stop. Auston Matthews gets 11.634 because he wears number 34. So we got to have that. That's that cutesy bullshit. Mitch Marner gets 11.893. That 93. That's that. I love Dougie, and that was my junior number. I want to have the 93 in there. Like I said, this isn't fucking bumper stumpers. This isn't vanity license plate bullshit. These numbers actually matter. And if we're going to pay Mitch Marner $10.893 million, there's not much left on the cap. And those $93,000, as ridiculous as this sounds, are important. That $34,000 that we had to tack on to Matthews is important. The Leafs are talking about having to carry a roster of only 20 guys, no extras, because that's what will fit under the cap. Would $93,000 and $34,000 from these two contracts that they signed, based on vanity alone, have helped keep a 13th forward or a 7th defenseman around at $700,000? Yes. It would have been important as time goes on. That's bullshit. Let's not be cute. I'm number 34, so number 34 has to be in my salary. No, it doesn't. That has to go away. That was crap. And I know that when we're paying Mitch Marner $10.8 million, the extra $93,000 is hardly where you should be nitpicking, but it matters. This is a cap world. The Toronto Maple Leafs can afford to pay all of these guys whatever they want, but the cap doesn't allow it. So tacking on an extra $93,000 here and an extra $34,000 there is stupid. So let's talk to you Senators fans. Let's talk to you Oilers fans, you Canucks fans, those of you who have come out of the woodwork to shit on this deal. There have been people across the country since the Marner deal started to be discussed, including one person who sat across the table from me as this whole thing went on, and we'll get to him on Tuesday when he rolls in here, that kept saying over and over and over, no, Marner's worth more than Matthews. No, Marner's worth 12 all day. No, Marner's... Not because they believed it, but because they wanted to throw a grenade into the Leafs cap. Because they wanted that number to keep going up and up and up to fuck with us. And now it's done. And it's done at 10.8. And now you're all standing there going, that's too much! And it is too much. But if you were one of those people standing there claiming that it should be everything that Matthews got, or that it should be 12, all of these things to try and fuck with the Leafs cap, we haven't forgotten you. We know what you've said, and we know that you look ridiculous now. No different than phony-ass politicians running around right now making all kinds of ridiculous promises that they have no intentions of keeping after they get elected, just hoping that we'll forget. We didn't forget. And you look ridiculous now. Which is it? Was he worth every bit of Matthews? Or did they overpay at less than Matthews? Come on. Pony up. What do you got? Because you had a lot to say before, and you have a lot to say now, and they don't match up. You don't matter. If you're sitting there paying Milan Lucic what you're paying him, I don't care what you think the Leafs paid Marner. If you're sitting there paying Louis Erickson what you're paying Louis Erickson, I don't care what you think about the Marner deal. And Senators fans, most of all, you keep taking our shit. We can sign anybody to whatever we want because as soon as it goes bad, we're shipping them down the highway to you. For real. Dion was a terrible contract that everyone said we couldn't get out of. We shipped him to you. Zaitsev, terrible contract you said we couldn't get out of. We shipped him to you. Both of those are Lou Lamoriello signings, by the way, not Kyle Dubas, who you're so anxious to line up and kick around. So I don't care what your phony outrage says now. It's jealousy. You're all going to balk at it. You're all going to shy away from it. It's jealousy. You don't have it. You can't afford it. Whatever it might be, as you heard off the top of this show, Kyle Dubas said, we can and we will, and he did. It's not pretty, but it's done. And it's better than what you got. So why don't you beat it? You sat there and you claimed that he deserved $12 million, trying to fuck with the cap. Kyle got him at 10.8, and now you scream he's overpaid. All of you that laughed at Dubas and said, when he said we can and we will, you said, oh, he'll never do it. Now he's done it, and you have to scream, well, then you're in cap hell. Yeah, it's a cap world. The Blackhawks lived in cap hell and got two extra cups out of it. I think I'll take my chances. You're free to go. Because some people are only here just to shit on the Leafs. Damn the facts. Let's move on. We'll talk about what this really means to Leaf fans who have still stuck around this far. And God love you. Because like I said off the top, it's not perfect. It's possible to believe that the Dubas model is a good model and that he didn't do well on these negotiations. It's possible to believe that he's a great evaluator of talent, but maybe not a strong negotiator. That's possible. There's lots of ways to still approve of what's happening here and gone, oh, fuck, I don't love that. But you can't live in fear forever. This is done. What's it been, a year and a half? We've been talking about all these contracts. They're over. They're signed. He's delivered the guys. Well, Freddie's up in 2 years. Yeah, that's a 2 years from now problem. Morgan Riley's up in 3 years. Yeah, that's a 3 years from now problem. It's going to be tight. You don't have to fully agree that this was the best model, but it's been a long time since we've had this strong of a direction where you can point at what the Leafs are doing and go, I get it. Let's see what happens. You could have this team right now that is unbelievably tight to the cap, but is as talented as anything we have seen in my lifetime, or you could have any roster you want from the lockout up to the Auston Matthews draft. Go ahead, sit back, think about it. Let me know which one. I'm at Tall Can Audio on Twitter. Which situation would you like to be in? You want the Lee Stempniak Leafs or the Auston Matthews Leafs? You want the Matt Stajan Leafs or the John Tavares Leafs? Sorry, man. I know where I'm at. It's going to be tight. It's going to be rough. We're going to have to make some hard cuts here as we go. But it's done. We've got all of these guys for at least 5 years. Can we sit back and enjoy it now and stop wringing our hands about the contracts? There will always be someone. That's life in a cap world. You've got all your big dogs locked up long term now. Do I love all the numbers? No, I do not. Am I now ready to just sit back and enjoy and see if we can take a run at this? You bet your sweet bippy, whatever that means. I have no idea what a bippy is. I heard somebody say, I think it was an Adam Sandler thing years ago, but I'm ready to go. Let's lay out some of the numbers because the Leafs now have three of the top seven highest paid players in the NHL. Connor McDavid is first. Artemi Panarin is second. Auston Matthews third. Erik Karlsson fourth. John Tavares fifth. Six, Drew Doughty, and seven, Mitch Marner. We are top heavy. You have three guys in the top seven highest paid in the league. You've also got a bunch of guys down in your third and fourth line. You know, obviously it's going to be bottom pair defensemen who are making like $700,000 because that's all you can fit under the cap. You got some league min guys. I have no idea if this is going to work, but I'd rather have these guys than not. Whether it turns out down the road that it's so that they can be cap casualties who have to be traded, or whether it's just because they're that good, and we'll see. But what I can tell you is that this will be the most pressure any of these guys have ever faced. They don't get to sit back at the trade deadline and wonder why there was no Jake Muzzin acquired this year. There won't even be a Brian Boyle acquired this year like there was a couple of years ago. A Thomas Plekanec. You didn't take less. None of them took less. They all took everything they could. and the Leafs have made it fit, but it's tight, and this is it. This is the team this year. Because there's no salary to move. You're not trading Willie, which so many people have said ever since that deal was signed, because now he's the cheap one. You're keeping that guy. You're not trading Matthews or Tavares or Marner because you need them. You're not trading Morgan Rielly because his deal is a frickin' steal for what he gives you. Jake Muzzin and Tyson Barrie only have 1 year left on their deals, but they're here to help you try to win. Anything you can trade is like making nothing. You're looking at trading your Trevor Moores or your Ben Harpers or your whatever, and they're not bringing you back anything. You had to trade away your first to get rid of Patrick Marleau. There's nothing that will help you clear space under the cap that you can trade that you won't miss. I think there's a chance next summer Andreas Johnsson or Kasperi Kapanen could be dealt because they signed sweet deals. But the fact that they signed sweet deals is actually valuable to you now because you need that type of player at that cheap. And even if you do trade them, how much cap space have you really cleared up? Like $3 million. So it doesn't help. This is the team for this year. Don't look for moves throughout the season. Don't look for reinforcements at the deadline. All of these guys took every penny they could get. And I guess, God love you for it, but it is entirely on you now. John Tavares and Mitch Marner had a really nice start to the series against Boston last year. But it didn't finish that way. Auston Matthews 2 years ago went dry against the Bruins. This year he was better. He can't go dry this year. If you're going to take all that money, it means all that pressure falls on you. Because ain't nobody looking at Trevor Moore or Jason Spezza at 36 and 800 grand, or Nick Shore, or Ilya Mikheyev from the KHL to carry the load. If you want all that money, if you're going to take every penny and leave nothing for your team to help, you know, balance things out later, it falls entirely on you. Before I came in here, I put out a call for questions at tallcanaudio.com. There's a contact page there. You can send us whatever you want to talk about, whatever you want to hear about. And we got a couple of things here. One is from our friend Kyle in Boston, who today saw Charlie McAvoy sign for a steal of a deal, which didn't make Leafs Nation happy, I can tell you that. And it says, "You can't possibly be happy with how this has turned out." And if I'm being totally honest, that is mainly the reason that this podcast wasn't done on Friday night. This deal was announced. I had a ton of thoughts at the time. Could have done it Saturday, could have done it Sunday. I've been thinking about, what does this mean? Our friend Kyle in Boston is correct. You cannot be entirely thrilled with this. It's an overpayment for Mitch. To me, this is the only one that's obnoxious. I think Willie's going to be fine. He missed training camp, missed half the season, came back. Was never as good as he could be, but his underlying numbers looked okay. He was driving play not too bad as things went on. And then they had to move him back into the middle. They never got him back with Matthews, all these sorts of things. It didn't pan out very well. It was a rough season for Willie. Some of it his own fault. I got no problem. That guy's making sub $7 million. I'm fine with that. Tavares is a UFA, comes in at a bit of a discount, not a huge discount, but a bit of a discount, 11 mil, I'm fine with that. Matthews at 11.634, it's a little high, but not unspeakably high. Like, is he better than Jack Eichel? Yes, he's better than Jack Eichel. Is he better than Connor McDavid? No, he's not. So he fits somewhere in the middle. you know, maybe you'd like to see him at around 11 million. He gets 11.6. Fine. It's done. It's committed. It's whatever. The term of that deal is the problem. You'd like to have seen it be a little bit longer, and it wasn't. So, but the cap number, I'm fine with. It's the Mitch number that's too high. That's a $9.5 million guy who got 10.8. And as I mentioned earlier, I believe on the show, Chris Johnston said that the Leafs knew this wasn't a good deal, but that they were just trying to push this across the finish line. They've gone out and gotten Tyson Barrie, the right-handed guy they finally, you know, they needed after all these years. They've got the rest of the core locked up. This is a year that they are going to go for it. And so they couldn't risk Mitch missing camp, missing games, and the same thing happening to him that happened to Willie. And so they just went, fuck it. Here, will this finish the deal? So no, I'm not in love with how this has panned out. But I don't think it is as bad as many people are painting it. You get in trouble for overpaying your crap. For overpaying your middle. I referenced earlier the Milan Lucic crowd. The James Neal crowd. The Louis Erickson crowd. You can't pay those middle-of-the-road guys deals like they got. If you're going to go high, and if you're going to make a mistake with your best players. I don't know yet if Mitch is a 94-point player. Nobody does. He's got a 62-point season, a 69-point season, which was nice, and a 94-point season. There's no reason to assume that the 94 is the new normal. John Tavares has been turning his wingers into superstars for years. So did Mitch suddenly figure it out and become a 95-point player from now on? Or did he benefit from playing with John Tavares and get a sizable bump? What's reasonable at 10.893? Do you have to expect him to be a 90-point player from now on, or are you okay with him at 80 points? I don't think most Leaf fans will be. What about at 70 points? What if he falls back to 75 points and he's making 10.8? Will Leaf fans be okay with it? I doubt it. Would they have been at 9 million? Maybe. So this is going to be interesting. But like I said, if you're going to miss up high. Miss with your top guys. Don't pay Chris Russell. Give Leon an extra million or two. Just as an example. I'd have loved to have seen that Mitch number come in lower. I said it off the top. I think this is too much. But if we're going to make mistakes, if we're going to go all in, then let's do it here. Let's do it with the top guys, and we'll see. You can accuse me a little bit of trying to make chicken salad out of chicken shit. I don't think it's as bad as chicken shit, but this is where we are now, and it's done, and we don't have to think about it for years. You got a half decade now to take your shot with all your guys lined up. That's what you should want as a hockey fan. We've been talking about these contracts for so long. They're done. Live with it. Find a way around it. Let's find a way. This team is so good, and we had it so bad for so long. Do you want to go back to that? Really interesting question here from our friend Melissa in London, who writes in fairly often. Do you think it's the fact that four guys are making this much of the cap or the way it's distributed? And she's got a bunch of numbers listed under here that we're not going to walk through entirely, but clearly she knows her shit and she's divided this up. And I commend her for it because now I don't have to go do it. The Leafs' top four guys, Tavares, Matthews, Marner, Nylander, are making somewhere around 50% of the cap. And that was going to be true even if Mitch took a million less or whatever. So I'm not too tied up in that. But if you take their salaries, add them all together, and then divide it by four, it's 8.8. And so Melissa's question is, if someone would have said to you 2 years ago, you can have John Tavares, Mitch Marner, Austin Matthews, and William Nylander all making $8.8 million for the next 5 years, would you take it? And the answer is clearly yes. You would take Mitch and Willie at that number. Maybe, you know, Willie, maybe you'd go, it's a little high. I don't know. Mitch, that's a good bargain. The other two, you'd be jumping up and down that you got them at 8.8. It's still an interesting model. We haven't seen a team go this top heavy before. But if you had said to Leaf fans, you can have Austin Matthews making $8.8 million for the next 5 years, they're taking it. John Tavares, yup. Mitch Marner, fuck yeah. And then you go, well, maybe Willie's a little overpaid at 8.8. But that's an interesting way of looking at it. It's clearly the way it's spread out. It's the passing winger. You know, that's too much for that guy. The total number of dollars is the same. It gets you to the same percentage of the cap. But the way it's split up, is that what's holding some people up? And that's interesting. The last thing I want to touch on here, because Melissa raised an interesting point, was percentage of cap. And coming out of their entry-level deals, Jonathan Toews and Patrick Kane took 22, just about 23% of Chicago's cap coming out of their entry-level deals. The Pittsburgh Penguins, Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin took almost 33% of Pittsburgh cap coming out of their entry-level deals. Austin Matthews and Mitch Marner are about 28% of Toronto's cap. Now, that gets blown to hell when you add in John Tavares and William Nylander. But what that means is it's being blown to hell by having more good players than those teams did. So it's really just about the way they've gone about this, to be honest, right? How do you want to look at it? Do you want to be a glass half full or a glass half empty way of looking at it? Leaf fans obviously want this to be glass half full. So you're trying to find any way you can to justify it. Some of you who've been listening to this whole show can tell that's clearly what I'm doing. I don't love it, but I don't think I have to hate it as much as I thought I would. Leaf haters are out there going, it's cap hell and you'll never be able to sign anybody. And that's fine, because you have nobody. Come talk to me, Sens fans, when you've managed to lock up anybody. Thomas Chabot, I don't know. Like, Colin White, third line center, great job. Let me know what Chris Tierney can carry. I just wonder sometimes. The window is open for the Leafs right now. You finally have a stable defense on both sides, left and right. Your top six is as good as anyone's in the league. I wonder if it's not the worst thing in the world, and I wonder if the whole league isn't headed towards a point where you just pay your best guys. And you don't spread it out, and you don't pretend that your third line left winger is as important as your second line right winger, because he's just not. It's new. It's different. And if it doesn't work, Dubas deserves every bit of the criticism that he's going to get. And I guess for our listeners, so will I, because I'm ready to go along with it. I've seen this thing fail so many times. I don't know if this direction is going to work, but we have a direction. And so far, that direction has brought us nothing but top-end talent. We've paid more for it than we wanted to. But if there wasn't a cap, and there is a cap, and that's a problem, but if there wasn't a cap, this is what you would want the Toronto Maple Leafs to be doing. Tavares, sure, yeah, let's do that. Mitch Marner long term, bring it. Tyson Barrie with Colorado eating half of his contract, yup. You would expect this of the Leafs. And so far, every time we've run into trouble, he's found a way out of it. I think he's as tight now, in terms of Kyle Dubas, as he's ever been. But we are as good as we have ever been. So let's see. Let's see. It's a huge deal that Marner has signed. it's precedent setting. Other GMs are going to be pissed. Other RFAs are going to be stoked. I don't know if it's going to work. It's different and it's new. But it's done. And we have all these guys long term. He told you, while everyone said he couldn't do it, he said, we can and we will. And he did. He delivered. So there's a bunch of the numbers. There's a bunch of the figures. There's sort of where I'm at. Rob will return on Tuesday. And he no doubt will be shitting all over this while he's watching Ron Hainsey and Nikita Zaitsev play for his team. Like, if this doesn't work, we're pretty clearly just going to ship our garbage up the highway to Ottawa and they'll happily take it, right? Like, what's the harm? We'll see. Rob will be back in here on Tuesday, as I mentioned, for an all-new episode of Tall Can Sports. In the meantime, we are on Twitter at Tall Can Audio. Same thing on Instagram at Tall Can Audio. Facebook.com/TallCanAudio. Have had a lot of fun talking about Mitch Marner with you guys. This huge contract. The hockey season is just about ready to fire up. Preseason is actually underway. We made it through a long, hard summer. Hockey's back. There's going to be a ton of things to talk about. And we'll hit you all up on the next episode of Unforced Errors.
Well, this one's empty. For more, visit tallcanaudio.com or find us on Twitter and Facebook at tallcanaudio.